morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Brunch Boxing. I'm your host, Matt, and we're here with the post-fight edition of Brunch Boxing Controversy in San Diego. We're going to get right to it. Emmanuel Navarrete, technical decision after 7 rounds against Charlie Suarez. It went to a technical decision because in the 5th round, Emmanuel Navarrete was hit with a punch, and then he was allegedly headbutt. The referee called it an accidental headbutt. So we went to the scorecards after the doctor determined that Emmanuel Navarrete could not continue. I'm going to get right to it with you, J-Ro. Did the referee and the replay official make the right call?
Absolutely not. They did not make the right call. That was clearly a punch that caused the cut. And quite frankly, I'm getting tired of this A side, B side bullshit in boxing where everything that happens always benefits the A side. If that was ruled a punch by the referee, they do not stop the fight right there. They don't. They give Navarrete every chance to win that fight. The fact that they stopped it there when it looked like Suarez was coming on strong and Navarrete was tiring, it's some bullshit. And they got a call wrong. That was clearly a punch. There should have been a TKO win for Suarez. I feel Suarez got robbed. And the same token, I felt where Lamar Roach got robbed with Tank. The commission and the referee are making these blunder calls that's affecting it's affecting the outcome of these fights. I don't like that. And it's always to benefit the A side, and it's very annoying.
Let me ask you a question. So the referee ruled that it was an accidental headbutt. Let's say, obviously you disagree, you think it was from a punch. Do you believe that the replay was conclusive enough to change the referee's call?
So from the replay, if you look at the replay, even like the punch, the punch caused the cut, and then there was like a rubbing with the glove that made it bigger. I think that's clearly a punch, though. You gotta call that a punch.
And there's no such thing as accidental rubber with the glove. If the rubber with the glove made it bigger, it's still a fucking punch. Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah. It's just so and very annoying. Like I said, I will say this. Navarrete said, "Oh, he's gonna make a decision. Gonna go up to 135 or stay at 130 with his team." No, like, you gotta run that back immediately. You gotta run that back immediately. I don't want to hear about no other fight with Navarrete.
If you're Charlie Suarez, because listen, Charlie Suarez is 36 years old. He's not getting any younger. He was a late starter when it comes to being a pro because he stayed an amateur for so long. Could this have been the night of his life and he can't repeat this? Or do you think that he, I don't want to say has Navarrete's number, but clearly he could give Navarrete some run for his money?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not sure. I really don't know. If this was the night of his life and he put like he had the best night of his boxing career tonight and he cannot repeat that, it's a fucking shame that he didn't get the ref and the replay commission made that blunder of a call. It would be a shame. Because then he would deserve a win. Whether he loses the rematch or not, he should have deserved the win tonight. You know what I mean?
He should have the right to be called champion, you know, because that should have been a TKO, although they probably wouldn't have stopped it.
They probably wouldn't have stopped it. You're right. Yeah, they wouldn't have stopped it. But you know, and it also affects him because monetary-wise, right? Because if he gets the win, he goes into the rematch as a champion, he will get more money than he would as a challenger going into the rematch.
Yeah. Now, do you think Top Rank actually does an immediate rematch for this fight?
I don't think so. If you tell me what I think Top Rank's going to do, I think if Keyshawn beats De Los Santos, they're going to feed Navarrete to Keyshawn.
So what? He's going to vacate the WBO, or he's going to do the same thing he did last time?
Same thing he did last time.
I'm moving up.
Come on.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to bring in my guy, the COO of Brunch Boxing, the Mexican Al Heyman, my guy Mike. Hola, amigo. San Diego, en fuego. Emmanuel Navarrete, what did you pick?
Oh, man, that's a terrible stoppage. Terrible stoppage. If anything, you know, the Raza, you got to tough it out regardless of the situation. So I just, terrible stoppage. Yeah, rematch. Run that back. And, yeah, man, Suarez, shout out to him. You're right, though, man. It might have just been his night. And for him to get robbed of his night, it's a terrible thing. And ruined the whole freaking card for me, to be honest.
Now, here's one thing I wanted to touch on before we get rolling here. You know, the cut was not obstructing his vision. So why was the fight stopped? I've never heard of a fight being stopped because a cut is bleeding. I've heard of a fight being stopped because the fighter is in danger of losing his eye, or it's in a really bad spot where the fighter can't protect himself. But that, to me, that cut did not qualify. What you think, J-Ro? I guess J-Ro doesn't
can you hear me? Real quick, ESPN Plus just did a frame by frame replay, and you can clearly see there where Aladdin did a hell. If this was Aladdin work, he did a great job, by the way. You can see the punch landing and the cut opening up on a frame by frame replay, zoomed in. Like they zoomed the hell out of it.
So listen, we have gone from a controversy to officially a robbery.
Officially a robbery.
This was officially a robbery.
They went zoomed in and did a frame by frame. Like I said, Aladdin work. He did great because you can clearly see the punch and then the cut opening up before the whole rubbing of the glove and all that. It's some bullshit. And you know what sucks about it too is that it was turning into a fun, great fight. Like I thought, man, this is becoming very interesting. This drama, this is great, and they ruined it with this decision that they did.
You know, it's the second week in a row this happened. You know, I wasn't happy with the fight, with the stoppage in Inoue versus Cardenas, and I definitely wasn't happy with the stoppage here. Like to me, this stoppage is bullshit because it's not like his eye was in danger.
He wasn't in danger.
No reason for the doctor to stop the fight. The reason that they stopped the fight was because they know that they wounded an accidental head clash, and they probably thought that Navarrete was ahead on the cards. Let's call it what it is. They thought he may have been ahead on the cards. There's like, all right, it's seven rounds, so it's not going to be a draw. He might be ahead. Let's call it right now before it gets any worse. And I thought that was bullshit. That was complete bullshit. I don't know what's going on with this California commission, man, up in fucking San Diego, but that was a shame. Suarez should be the WBO super featherweight champion right now. And kudos to Aladdin for getting that frame-by-frame camera work to show that it was unequivocally a punch that caused the cut. Let's get the host of Brunch Boxing in here. My guy Ezra. Ezra, what did you think of the controversy in Navarrete versus Suarez? And should Charlie Suarez be the WBO champion?
Yeah, it was clearly a punch. I mean, I didn't really get the controversy of it because even the headbutt part wasn't a major headbutt. It wasn't enough to where you'd be like, yeah, a giant cut came from that. The punch landed clear as day, and he was cut right after it. So even with the frame-by-frame, I thought the first replay was pretty clear. Like, hey, that punch did it. This is that was the reason why he got cut, and that's where the cut came from. So, yeah, I think that is robbery. That sucks. That sucks for Suarez. But I also think he wasn't getting credit for some of the offense he was landing. I thought he was landing good offense throughout the fight. And then
Well, nobody cares about that.
It was a good fight. He was a poor fighter. Like, he started angling him and stuff like that, eliminating Navarrete's offense. And the funny thing about Navarrete missing weight is that he was fat. Like, it wasn't like that he can't make the weight anymore. He could clearly make this weight. He is fat. He just stopped burning the fat in training camp. He is just not eating correctly. He is clearly as fat as day. There's plenty of stuff to burn there to make this weight. Like, that's the funny part about him struggling to make weight.
Yeah, and I would like to point out
that the replay official was none other than the referee that robbed Deontay Wilder.
You're letting it out.
Pause.
Good call. Yeah, it was Jack Reese. If you don't get what he's trying to say, it was Jack Reese.
I didn't agree with the stoppage either. I think, like everybody else was saying, it was clearly a punch. And Navarrete, his habits outside of the ring is starting to catch up. He couldn't make weight. Kriegel even went into detail about his attempts to make weight and how he wasn't breaking a sweat. So he's got to switch something up. And sadly, I think it might be Suarez might have had the night of his life, and Navarrete might have just had a bad enough performance to where Suarez was able to catch him. And sadly, we will never know, in my estimation, if we'll get to see that fight again, because I don't think they'll revisit this fight unless, you know, Navarrete, he kind of has the ability to say, you know, fuck that, I want a rematch, but I think they're going to go and, like how Matt was saying, match up with Keyshawn if he beats De Los Santos.
He's like really no good at 135. So if he's not going to make 130 no more, I mean, I don't think he looks good at 135 at all. Like, just that's just too much. Like I said, like I'm just telling you, he's fat at this weight. He's just not cutting. He's not working out to cut it the right way. But if he goes 135, Keyshawn will smoke him. Like, he just doesn't belong at that weight at all.
Well, I will take it a step further. He doesn't look good, period. Like, forget about 135, 130. He doesn't look good. He doesn't look good, man. And I think we are watching a steep decline of Emmanuel Navarrete. There's no reason why Charlie Suarez should have been able to hang in there with him. There's no reason for that. You know, the only reason why is because Navarrete is diminished. He is severely diminished. You know, I've been watching Charlie Suarez for... No, you haven't been watching Charlie Suarez as long as I have. Please, don't tell me you don't know. Don't act like you did a breakdown.
No, but I don't agree with this take on Navarrete, because I thought Navarrete looked good early. The problem is that he's trying to... I don't know if he trusts his gas tank late because he's not making weight, so he's rushing all his stuff. And then, honestly, the cut happened. He had to really rush his offense, so he started walking into stuff. But Suarez did good stuff. Like, I think that... To say, oh, well, Suarez isn't any good. Like, I don't know. He looks all right to me.
I didn't say Suarez isn't any good, but he shouldn't have been hanging with Navarrete.
I don't know why not. I mean, why not? I don't get why not. He had good timing. He was catching out right there mistakes. He pushed him back. He started angling, so he wasn't going straight back. He caught on to that after the first round. Like, I don't see why not. Why can't he hang with him?
Okay. I mean, listen, if that's your breakdown, that's your breakdown. Great, great Ezra breakdown. Now, what do you think should be next? Like, should WBO get involved in this controversy?
I think they're going to run it back, honestly. I don't think that Navarrete thinks he can't make this weight. Even if he does it just like how as tough as he did this time, he'll probably do that again. But I think they're going to run it back. I mean, that's a fight. It's a good style matchup for Navarrete. I'm sure he feels like if it weren't for the cut, he probably feels like he runs away with that fight.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't for the cut caused by a punch, like, he's going to get punched.
Yeah, I know. Again. But I know. I get that. No, I get that. But I'm saying, though, that if he probably feels like if the cut doesn't happen, I probably start taking control of that fight, right? So I don't think he'll run away from this fight. I think that they'll gladly do this one again. It's a matchup that he likes. It's a style matchup that works for him.
Okay. All right. Well, it looked like it was working because his face was leaking. So I don't know how well it was working. I really don't. Can't say it was working when your face is leaking and you have to rely on the ringside doctor and the referee and the replay official to conspire to get you the victory. You know, I don't know, man. But he has to run that back. Now, whether or not the WBO will mandate it remains to be seen. I'm not too sure about that, but they should run it back. And I think it's also important to note that the WBO said that this fight was just a voluntary. So who knows if they're going to end up calling another mandatory for Emmanuel Navarrete. We just don't know how that's going to go. I'm going to bring in real quick my guy, Bear DeLaurier. Obviously, I'm assuming you watched the fight. What were your thoughts on what you saw tonight?
All right, perfect timing. So I first got there, the Conceição and the Montgomery fight. As soon as I walked in, I mean, I noticed the atmosphere is pretty good. You know, it's pretty loud.
No, we're not talking pro box yet.
My fault. From listening to y'all, I actually got into my back in my room as soon as that fight ended. But, I mean, from listening to y'all, since I ain't see it, I'm kind of like you. Since it was a voluntary, I think they're going to bypass it, you know. So, ain't really much Gustavo could probably do since he's a volunteer. If he was a mandatory, I could see.
No. First of all, the sanctioned body can do whatever the fuck they want.
That's true.
If they say, we're reordering this fight, you know. Now, whether or not they want to do that, I think it depends on what Bob orders. You know, if Bob
doesn't
want a rematch, then a rematch is not going to happen, you know. So we don't know what kind of plans they had for Navarrete after the fight. You know, it's easy to say Keyshawn, but I don't think they were going to try to do that 135 thing again. To be honest with you, I think maybe they were going to try to see if they could do a fight with Navarrete and Rafael Espinosa. You know, so do they go ahead with that? Is the question, you know, because Espinosa had a really good performance against Kid Vasquez. Espinosa has been talking about moving up, so maybe they just say, "Fuck it,
I think they're gonna yoke both sides. So what they're gonna do is they're gonna send Navarrete up to 135. He loses to Keyshawn. He goes back down to 130 because he never vacates his 130 belt. He fights Espinosa there.
So. My thing is, because I didn't see, of course, I didn't even see the co-main. I don't know if you want to get there or not, Matt, but from what I was seeing, everybody was saying it wasn't the best. So in Lord Fly saying that, how would that probably work with, you know, Muratai end up fighting Keyshawn or, like you said, Keyshawn fighting Navarrete? Because, I mean, I'm with you. I feel like the way Keyshawn dominated Berencik, and then he's going to be way too big for Navarrete. I mean, he'll stop him in probably 4 or 5 rounds, but so Muratai, how you think that'll work?
Muratai isn't the full IBF champ yet because Lomachenko hasn't vacated that, so they probably have to rectify all that first before they ever do Muratai and Keyshawn.
I mean, that's possible. I mean, I know a couple of days ago, Robert Garcia said he hearing that more than likely the Loma not going to fight again. And then, of course, you seen Carl Moretti. He said
Respect to Robert Garcia. He don't know what the fuck he be talking about. I'm sorry. Like, he's not exactly a reliable source. I'll leave it at that, respectfully. Do we think that Navarrete is going to stay at 130 after tonight, Ezra?
I do think so. I can't see them doing the Keyshawn one. I mean, if they did that, that'd be pure just, you know, to get Keyshawn. I don't know. I don't even know Navarrete off of this is like that great of a win. But I think he'll stay at 130. I think he realized what he is at 135.
You know what he was about to say. It was to get Keyshawn a Mexican.
I was gonna say a name. But I think that at 130, I think he can make the weight. Like, I just think honestly, it's just, you know, like
he's
I said,
too lazy. He's too lazy. No, and the thing is, him being lazy isn't gonna get any better.
No, it's not. He's also arrogant. I think he'll be like, I don't give a fuck what it takes to make this way. I'll make
He's arrogant he's arrogant in the opposite direction of like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it, I'll give it a try at 135 again because God knows I don't want to miss a meal.
I mean, and you guys don't think they're building towards Keyshawn and Muratayev, which I think is a fight more likely after.
I think they're building towards it, but I think they could sneak in and Navarrete fight in between that.
Because Muratayev's going to fight Lomachenko first, by the way.
Bro, he is not fighting Lomachenko. Lomachenko's not coming back and turning down a tank payday to be like, yeah, let's get the ring of more time. Like, he's just not doing that. This dude is not fighting anymore. It's just, that's the thing. He's not fighting anymore. This dude is done. He has no interest in fighting anymore.
We'll see.
How much does he make in a tank fight?
But I think a tank fight is a fight that he knows he's going to lose.
I don't really think he cared about that. I think he would think the payday. The payday is so different from a tank to Muay Thai. It's not even like, it's to me, it's not even a debate. If you're gonna fight, you would fight him. Like, you just would.
Wait. So let me ask you a question. Why would tank fight Lomachenko?
He already wanted to. They already wanted that matchup. What do you mean? That was already a matchup they wanted.
He wanted that because Lomachenko had the IBF.
Suddenly Tank cares about belts?
Hold on, Ezra. Calm down. Listen to what I'm saying. If Lomachenko tries to fight Tank instead of Murataya, he has to drop the IBF belt.
And no one will bat an eye.
Tank's gonna bat an eye.
No one gives a shit. Tank has never given a shit about belts ever in his life. He's not gonna care.
Well, you know what? But that's also not true, though. That's also not true.
No, they put a belt in when they need to sell something that's like, oh, that it is what it is, right? Like, if a belt falls into the matchup, that's fine. He's never been a guy to care about belts. They never were a guy like, oh, you know, let's get this Kent Bosco's fight. They were never on any of that stuff. Okay, that's just not it. The Loma fight sells just because it's taking Loma, and that's what I'm saying. So I don't think they were like, oh, well, thank God Loma has a belt. We can make this happen. I don't think that's what it was.
All right, Sam, I'll give you the last word on this Navarrete Suarez controversy. What are your thoughts? Because then we got to move on.
Or not.
All right, great job, Sam.
Wait, who's Sam?
that's your bro. Your name literally says Retro Savage Sam.
No, people usually say retros.
Wait, but did you forget Sam was in there?
Yeah, I know my name. It's just like people usually don't read that. People usually just read retro or savage or whatever. But man, they did them dirty. They did. Nah, man.
What are we doing? They did
Suarez dirty, man. Suarez, my bad. They did him dirty, man. That's all I gotta say.
I agree. Let's get to the co-feature, Ezra. We have Raymond Muratai versus Azua Duliev for the IBF interim lightweight title. Muratai won pretty easily. I'll be honest with you, the fight was kind of lame. I kind of felt like Abduliev, it was almost like he was sparring. Like, did he not know that this was for a belt or interim belt? Like, he just showed up, and that was it. What were your thoughts on that matchup, Ezra?
I thought Muratai looked good, honestly. I thought that he got, like, it was Abduliev was losing, clearly, but I thought he was always kind of, like, in it. Like, he was looking to land something, he just couldn't find it. And I thought that Muratai, when he did get caught, he was making a clear mistake of getting stuck there. But as the fight went on, he kind of figured that out, and then he figured out the range. I thought he looked really good. I thought the commentary was kind of like, they were, like, kind of up and down with him, but I thought he looked really good. I was really excited to see where he goes for next. So if he does get a Loma fight, I think that's a tough fight for Loma. I would like to match him up with Keyshawn. I really like that matchup, like, going forward.
What were your thoughts on Abdullah's performance? Because I did see my guy J-Lo was very critical of Raymond Muratai throughout this fight. So actually, J-Lo, what were your thoughts on what happened?
First of all, I only had one tweet about this fight. it was only one tweet, so I don't know how that would be very critical, right? But here's my tweet. Here's what Vance referring to. Is that I said, hey, when the fourth round was over, like, hey, by this time, against Devin Haney, Abdullah had a broken nose, and he got stopped. He was stopped. They stopped him fighting in the corner because he took a beating for four rounds, but no one's calling Muratai feather-fisted. But I just said, hey, but you know, that just show maybe the surgery kind of had Haney compromise. Muratai, he's an interesting case, man. He had a tough fight with
What's his name? The one that just had a fight with
Palmer, Tevin Farmer.
Yeah, and but then Cepeda had a tough fight with Tevin Farmer. So I'm like, all right, I didn't take it that much against Murata for that after I saw Cepeda struggle with him, and he did beat Flavor Abdullah. So I'm interested to see what he does. I think he's going to be a solid fighter. I don't think he's ever going to be elite. But he's going to be a very solid fighter, a very capable fighter. I think he's going to win a world title. But if he fights Keyshawn, I think Keyshawn is going to. I think Keyshawn's going to dominate, dude. I don't see that. I don't see him being competitive versus Keyshawn. I think Keyshawn levels above.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like his fighting style. Like this guy, and I don't know how long he's been with Robert Garcia, but he seems to try to, like, box too much. He doesn't want to fight. He wants to be a thinking man in there. And I don't think his skills are good enough for him to do that on a high level, you know? That'll work against Abdullayev, who cares? You could have not agreed with me. I'm not going to make my point. But go ahead. Make your point.
I just don't agree. I think he boxed very well. I mean, I think good defense. He has a key flaw.
But no, make your fucking point.
Can you hear me? Or am I talking? Or you can't hear me?
Yes, I can hear
you. Oh, yeah, I'm saying. I think he has a big flaw that he did today where he got stuck, right? But I think that if they eliminate that, like, he does a lot of good things where he moves very well. Like, he keeps a good distance. He's constantly moving. He punches. He counters. He can go offensively. Now, was he aggressive? No, but I think that Abdullayev was in the fight. Like, I think that he didn't want to make a mistake and let Abdullayev land the right hand, right? So I think that it was, to me, as the performance went on, he started, as the second half of the fight, he was kind of in cruise control. Like, he had figured out the whole thing and it was really nothing at risk. I think that was a good performance. Like, I can't see being down on that. Or saying, he's like, in, oh, he can't box.
I think he's in too much cruise control. He overthinks things. He lets a lot of counter opportunities or just offensive opportunities go to waste, and he doesn't actually take them. It's really weird. And he does a lot of weird posing at mid-range, too, that could get him caught. And actually did get him caught a couple of times.
Yeah, what one would say that he tries to go out there being a thinking man, like I fucking said. You know, I was shocked. I don't get it. Ezra just told me he disagreed just so he could repeat the same thing he repeated when he first started talking about the fight. But whatever, man. Murataya, what's next for him? I think it's going to be Lomachenko. I do think Lomachenko's coming back. I think that's the fight that we get towards the end of the summer. I'm assuming J-Ro agrees. Ezra, what do you think is next?
Let's throw Lomachenko in then. If he takes that fight as one of the worst businessmen in boxing, we could put him in that one of that list right there. And just a straight, a cowardly act of ducking Tank and ducking the big payday and everything. As Chris goes, I am Canelo.
I actually, what's next for Murataya? Not think about Lomachenko. I'm actually, what do you think is next for Raymond Murataya? Thank you for your contribution.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I don't understand this guy, man. Something's wrong with this guy. Now, J-Ro, do you think, if Lomachenko doesn't come back, what do you think is next for Murataya? Let's just play the Ezra
scenario. Oh, okay. If he gets upgraded to the full champion because Lomachenko doesn't come up, I think they get him one more. I think they get him a voluntary defense versus whoever Top Rank wants to put on there, and then they do the unification with Keyshawn after that.
Yeah. So here's my thing. I think if Lomachenko doesn't come back, Murataya is going to end up fighting Andy Cruz. Ooh, I think that's going to be
really. Why? What do you think?
Because Andy Cruz is going to be fighting some Japanese guy for the second IBF mandatory during the summer. So I think if Lomachenko doesn't come back, they're going to automatically order Morataya to fight the winner of that fight, who I anticipate being Andy Cruz. So we'll see, though. We'll see. Like, it's a weird situation that Lomachenko has put everyone in. So we'll ultimately see how it plays out. But I think that's where we're headed. I think that's where we're headed. Were there any other fights on this card that interest you guys that you want to talk about before we move on to pro bout?
Oh, yeah. The Crazy A versus, I think his name is what was it, Sebastian Hernandez? Well, I don't remember him. That was a good fight, by the way. That 122 pounder from TJ, he looked good. He got a lot of volume. Interested to see what Top Rank does with him. Oh, I think he's actually a Zanford fighter. So we'll see what Zanford does with him. But he looked all right.
Jesus Christ. It's
crazy. I think after this, he should be done. I don't see why he will continue fighting.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Lord, what are your thoughts? Because you are the lower weight class connoisseur. You are the lord of the flies, apparently. So what are your thoughts on what we saw with Crazy A and Sebastian Hernandez? I'm removing people. These people are just wasting my time. Wasted these speakers. Jesus
Christ. Very annoying, right, man?
Hey, yo. Yo, Matt. So, I know y'all was talking about the Raymond Merlin Tyler. Bro.
Wait. Are you high?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Do you usually talk this slow? Huh? Talk this slow?
Matt, I think he might be tired from a long day at work. From the conversation with him, he doesn't get high. He can't. So I think he's just tired from a long day at work.
Yeah, right, Drill. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to Pro Box. We saw Erickson Lubin. He became officially the IBF mandatory junior middleweight title for Bakhtinam Merchants Aliyev. The fight has to take place before the end of the summer. Vandalorian, you were in the building. Tell me what you thought about Erickson Lubin's performance against Audrey Holmes.
Man, truthfully, I thought he looked pretty good for 19 months out of the ring. You know, that's what surprised me the most. You know, I wasn't sure how he was going to be able to deal with Audrey Holmes, because I know he got a good jab. You know, he real, like, he taller, you know, got long reach and everything. But I don't know, it was kind of interesting. I mean, when Audrey Holmes came out, I noticed he had Cleto Reyes gloves on, but I was like, he not a puncher. So I said, it's going to be pretty interesting. But aside from that, man, Lubin looked great. For real, he looked good. I mean, I know he had a lot of pressure on him, you know, going into that fight, hometown fight, 19-month layoff. His four, three other stable mates all won stuff. So, but aside from that, man, he looked great to me, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't find the fight to be that interesting, to be honest with you. But I do think Lupa did what he needed to do. Audrey Holmes, he didn't go for it, man. You know, what's with this trend with these fighters in these big spots that are just, they're just not going for it anymore? I don't understand what is going on with that. Audrey Holmes, you will never be in this position again, my man. Trust me when I tell you. You will never be in this position again. And you just, I don't know, you just showed up. You just showed up. It looked like he showed up to try to go the distance. And then when he realized he couldn't go the distance, he was like, yo, I don't want to fight no more. I don't know what happened with Audrey Holmes, but congrats to Erickson Lubin. I'm ready for Lubin versus Murdoch Aliyev. Let's see what happens with that. Ezra, what were your thoughts on the
You know, you're saying about, you, did? You know, he didn't go for it. I don't think he has a skill to go for it. Like, I really don't. I don't think he don't know how to use his length. He has a lot of holes in his game. So I was thinking, like, you know, it's hard to say where he'll be at. Maybe he learns some things and we get in the ring, he'll be like, higher level fighter, but everything I saw from him going into this thing, he has like way too many holes for Lubin, right? And I think Lubin looked all right. It wasn't like a world beater or anything like that. He looked all right in there. But I don't think Holmes had the ability to go for it. Like, he just looked like he was all over the ring. He just looked like he was just falling all over the ring. Couldn't get his feet planted. Couldn't put anything on his shots because I just think he was just outskilled in there. That's what it basically comes down to. What do you think about Lubin versus Morzaya? Do you think you give Lubin a shot in that fight?
Yeah, why not?
I feel like that's like
up until the up until the Tim Zoo fight, Murda Zaliev wasn't overly impressive to anybody. So let's not pretend like he's some world beater just because he beat up Tim Zoo, who was coming off that horrific cut against Sebastian Fundora and was clearly still affected by the cut because he was pouring at his head when he thought that he got cut again and nobody touched the cut. So let's relax on Bakram Mirzaliyev. I think it's a good fight. It's an interesting fight. I want to see it next. And I hope, Bakram Mirzaliyev, you had a chance to fight in the spring and then get mandatory in the summer. You were bullshitting around this whole time. And now it looks like you have to go directly into your mandatory. So that other payday you were looking for before your mandatory, it looks like it's not coming. And let that be a lesson to a lot of fighters out there. Get your ass back in the fucking ring. Stop reading your press clippings and feeling yourself. And you're too good to fight this guy. You're too good to fight that guy. You only want to fight Virgil. You only want to fight Fedora. And now you've been sitting since October. And it looks like you're going to be sitting until your mandatory because May 18th is when you have to start negotiations or something like that. So I don't know what the fuck Bakker was thinking. I don't know what Kathy Beaver and Main Events was thinking, but I think they kind of fumbled it right here with Bakker Mirzaliyev because now he's getting one payday instead of two.
Hey, I want to jump in here, Matt. Hey, so it's funny how you said you didn't find that fight great, which, I figured that because I was told, I'm like, yeah, Matt ain't, he ain't texted me like since I had first got here. And they were like, oh, well, Matt watching Backlash. I said, figured. I know where your loyalty lies, but that was hilarious when I was told that. I said, that makes sense then, but I just wanted to say that.
Yes, it's WWE. Listen, Big Match John. John Cena was wrestling tonight. And by the way, that was awful too. Bro, you know what? We're not talking about it right now. I'm done. I'm fucking done. Darrell Bell say he got the stoppage in his fight. Great performance. What can you tell us about Darrell Bell say Mandalorian?
Blast, he looked great. I mean, from the start, I already knew coming into this fight. I said, Orozco is going to be a tough opponent because that's a guy Conor Ben had just fought a couple of years ago. Yeah, when he fought him in the Caribe Royale. And I remember he was even eating Conor Ben's chops, like, no problem. But aside from that, Blast, he looked good from the literal very jump for the fight. Like, looked quick, looked explosive and everything. I mean, it's crazy throughout the whole fight. He looked pretty much the same. I mean, like I said, Orozco just was tough. But as I was told after, you know, and then when leaving, per coach Mark Ferrer, Blas broke his hand in his right hand. He broke his right hand in the second round of the fight. So that was real impressive that he was still able to get that stoppage. And I was told approximately he broke his hand in the second round, and he beat Orozco. He approximately broke two of Orozco ribs. So that was pretty amazing that he did that. But I talked to him. He said he's gonna be good. You know, it's bad too. His hand definitely fucked up. I mean, it's huge, like shit, like three times the size of his regular hand. His right hand is, but I guess it was just those body shots from what he was telling me. But I mean, like I said, he still got the job done, but he looked good. And I don't, he said he's not certain how long he's gonna be out, but we'll just see. On to the next one.
Yeah, Flash definitely impressed me. I ain't gonna lie, that was a good showing.
Like, I heard that fight.
You breaking up, Matt?
And no, I guess
All right, I'll say you clear or not. Yeah, I say you was cutting in and out.
Listen, I guess nobody watched the women's fight. I heard it was a good fight. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
All right, you're back now. Hey, you're back now, Matt. Hey, yeah, that fight, Matt.
I watched it.
That shit might have been, but you know what? We going to go ahead. We going to throw it in there with Tank and Lamont Roach, David Benavidez, David Morrell, Connor Ben, Eubank Jr. That fight was a banger. I'm talking about as soon as the bell rang.
Them girls were fighting.
That was, now that, Matt, like when you asked me about Nat No Love Dub and stuff, like, no, that, like, that was a fight that, you know, would need that, like, up there with Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. That's why I told you that was genuinely the women's version of Pitbull and Fiero. Nonstop action, back and forth, like that. I was telling everybody that there, and they was like, "Oh, was like, I ain't think of that." I was like, literally nonstop back and forth action, and I'm hoping they run it back. I mean, the champ, former champ or whatever, like she was, her spirits was lifted. She wasn't tripping on the loss or anything, you know. Like, I mean, people was cheering for both of them, Romero and Flores, of course. Mm-hmm. That was a green print fight, Argentinian versus a Mexican, and everything, but legit banger, like real deal banger.
Okay, all right. I'll be honest. I'm all boxing out tonight. That was great. I'm done. You know, listen, it wasn't a great day. It wasn't a great day today. You know, shout out to all the fighters that put it all on the line. But my spirits are down right now. My spirits are down. The Knicks lost. That's all I'm really thinking about right now. I don't really care about nothing else.
Y'all up 2-1, though. You can't even trip.
Yeah, I can. I can trip. J-Ro, did you watch Backlash, J-Ro?
No, I did not watch it.
Okay, so I can't have asked about Big Mac Sean. I know you watched Backlash, Ezra. Ezra, what were your thoughts on John Cena's
match? I didn't watch the main event. I watched everything but the main event.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you are useless. Jesus Christ.
I had no interest
in that. What did you think of it?
I didn't watch that shit. Come on, man.
Well, what did you think,
Jay?
So critical. Why'd you change it?
Well, because here's the thing. I decided to take a nap instead. That was good.
That's bad.
I had to take a nap. So let me take a fucking nap. I'm good, man. Listen, man. I'm done with boxing. Oh, tomorrow morning versus Puma. What are your thoughts, J-Ro?
He just said he's done with boxing.
Well, this is a good fight coming up. Well, what are your thoughts, Gerald? Yoko versus Puma.
It is a really good fight coming up. Oh, man, it's a rematch. The first fight was great where Puma got the decision. It was a close fight, the rematch. Obviously, the fight got postponed because it was supposed to be on New Year's, but Puma couldn't make weight, got sick or whatever, so they had postponed it to now. Man, I'm interested. I love this rematch. Ioka usually do better in rematches, but I think he might be too old. I think Puma's fresher. I think Puma's going to beat him, and he might beat him more decisively this time.
Oh, boy.
Will there be a post-fight show, man?
Yeah. It's called the Sunday Morning Sermon. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'll do a post fight show because I definitely have to watch this fight. I loved the first fight, man. The first fight was really fucking good, you know. And you know, none of you guys were up watching the first fight, by the way. I just want to point that out. None of you motherfuckers was up. It was just me, Eson, and Tokers that was up watching that fight. Okay, I don't know where you guys were, but this second fight is going to be a fucking banger. I'm going with Ioka.
Ioka? Wow.
Yeah. I think Ioka's going to beat him. Because honestly, I thought Ioka won the first fight, you know, but whatever.
That was what the brunch boxing round by round scoring had it. I think they have Ioka winning a close fight.
Yeah.
I was surprised that Puma got the decision, but you know, learning about these Japanese guys, I'm not surprised anymore. They be hating on their own kind. Yeah. Do they hate on their own kind? Yeah, the Japanese are not on code. They are not on code. I'm telling you that right now.
God. Oh, since when? When did this happen?
All the time. The only Japanese guys that's on call would be the referees. Because the referees will stop that fight right away. They were like, you know what? Hey, our guy's winning. Let's stop it right now. He learned the punch. Let's stop it right now. That's all they'll do, man. But whatever.
Would there be a round-by-round scoring for the rematch?
Yeah. Okay. We know Ezra's not going to do it, but yeah. I'll do a round-by-round scoring for the rematch. Listen, it's a great fight. The first fight was a great fight, man. So we got to get it going. We got to get it going again. We got to show this fight some respect. The rest of the card, I don't even know the rest of the card. I didn't know the
rest of the card. Me neither. I don't know either.
Where am I not going to be? What am I doing?
Please.
You're gonna do the Rama Ron scoring, Ezra.
Oh, for the Puma Martinez fight?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Ezra, will you watch the fight?
I'll probably get to it someday. What time is it on today? 2 in the morning?
Well, it's 6 a.m. my time, so
do that. Oh yeah, 3 o'clock at my time. Yeah.
Take a nap.
Yeah, I will. I'll take an 8-hour nap. I'm gonna take an 8-hour nap. I'm gonna wake up. Now I'm gonna check. Yeah. I'm gonna check the scroll and see what we want.
You're not dedicated to this boxing game, Ezra.
I am. They got him. This is insane. You know what it is? Like, you know what I realize is like people that vote for the Academy Awards and then they say like, I don't have time to watch all these movies, and then they vote for the Academy Awards. So I was like, okay, well, that's the role everybody's taking with this. All right, you know, if you're not going to put it on a convenient time for me, then go to hell.
Yeah, I guess. At least have time to do your Rolly breakdown. Everyone's waiting on your Rolly breakdown.
I am waiting for that, by the way. I am waiting for that.
It's building up pretty well now. It's a good little buzz to it.
Ezra, you were impressed with Suarez tonight, right?
Yeah, I think he looked good. I think there's some good stuff there today.
Who's the better fighter, Suarez or Rolly?
I think Suarez.
Oh my God. Hey, you know what? This has been the Brunch Boxing. I appreciate you guys for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow morning with the post fight edition for Ioka versus Puma Martinez.
You also got an interview tomorrow, right?
Al Heyman, the CEO of So this guy we're interviewing tomorrow. Good thing you brought that up. Michael J. Whalen, right? He was a executive for HBO Sports during HBO Boxing's heyday in the 80s and 90s. So we're going to go through the history of HBO Boxing during his heyday, you know? So you guys got to tune in for that. Listen, if you love boxing, some of you guys are too young. You wouldn't understand. I don't care about you. Fuck you. I'm talking about the OGs. This one is for the OGs. This one's for people my age. This one's for J-Ro. This one's for Cliff. You know, this is for the OGs of this boxing shit. All right? This ain't for you, Mandalorian. This ain't for you, Ezra. This ain't for you, Sam. No,
I grew up in HBO boxing.
This right? is for the OGs. Yeah, sure. No, you grew up in HBO boxing when fucking Bernard Hopkins was fighting Oscar De La Hoya and shit, you know.
That's a good time of HBO boxing, but before that too, you know, before that too.
Yeah. You grew up with HBO boxing when it was Superfly.
No.
I grew up when it was at its apex.
When Cecilia Breakers was having the goodbye.
Yeah, it was the main event. That's very disrespectful to me.
Listen, we know you were having a guy.
Before we get out of here, what happened to the Knicks? What color are the skies?